Sure, my name is Pat Westhoff, and I'm the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri.
The way it sounds that there is some volatility expected in soybean and corn markets over the next 5 years. Why is that?
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in world markets in the last several years, and especially in the last several months. We expect that we'll see much lower prices on average, but with world stocks of grains and oilseeds still relatively tight, a big crop or a short crop, some part of the world can greatly change prices from 1 year to the next.
There is evidently the projection that the grain markets are going to be more pessimistic than a year ago. At least that's what you're projecting now. Tell me about that.
Right. We do think there's a lot of competition in global markets these days. All the traditional players we've known about for a long time, like Argentina and Brazil, but also new players as well, places like the Ukraine and Russia that have been in the news, of course, a lot recently. Because those new players are somewhat uncertain, just where prices would go in any given year can be very dependent on weather, and as we've seen, very dependent on political developments as well. However, we do think on average, with lots of additional supplies in the world and with reduced overall growth in the demand side from what we've been used to the last few years, prices are likely to average a lower level than we've had in recent years.
As long as we waited for a new farm bill, there is still lots and lots of uncertainty about that. That is your quote. Expand on that some.
Well, we do know a lot of the provisions in the bill, obviously, and we've made some estimates of what that might actually mean for markets on average. However, a lot of the provisions do require USDA to still write rules about how they will be implemented in practice, so we're watching very carefully to see how those rules are indeed put together. But more importantly, the new programs will only make payments under some circumstances. So we may have years where those programs prove to be very, very important and may have make very large payments to producers in times of low prices or low revenues. Other years where when prices or revenues are at or above normal levels, there may be no payments whatsoever.
Characterize, in a nutshell, just what the new farm bill, what kind of changes farmers can expect from that and what the complexion of support is from the government now that the new farm bill is being implemented.
For crop producers, probably the most profound change is that we've finally eliminated the direct payment program that was first established under a different name back in 1996. That program made annual payments that were basically fixed every year. What a producer chose to plant didn't have any effect on those payments, nor did the price of a commodity. Under the new policy, that program was gone, and its place are two new policies that producers need to make a choice between. The one would make payments when prices are below a trigger level, sort of like the existing or pre-existing countercyclical payment program. And the other one would make payments when per acre revenues at either the county or farm level drop below a trigger that's tied to recent prices and yields. So those two new policies are ones that could provide a great deal of support to farmers when times are bad, but unlike the old direct payment program, would not make any payments at all when times are good.
And also tell us how this might elevate the importance of crop insurance.
Yeah, the new policies continue the pre-existing crop insurance program in most respects, but add to that program a new option available to people who participated in one of those new programs I just mentioned. It's called the supplemental coverage option that may be of interest to people who want to provide some protection against smaller losses that would be covered by conventional crop insurance. But with the safety net having changed by getting rid of direct payments, you know, crop insurance would be a larger share of the overall mix of safety net policies for U.S. agriculture.
And also that farmers need to choose with care which program they select because they will be with it for the entirety of the farm bill. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. These are very important choices. The choice between the price-based program and the revenue-based program is one that producers will make at the very start of the program and will have to be with that same decision for the following 5 years. If prices, for example, were to maintain at levels above new reference prices that have been established, you know, one of those programs, the price-based program, would not make any payments at all, where perhaps the other one might. So there may be circumstances where one program could pay out and the other one doesn't, and the reverse is also true. In your own analysis, for example, for corn producers, it appears that one of those programs might well pay out more in the earlier years than the other, but the situation could reverse in say, the third, fourth, and fifth years of our analysis. So it'll be some tough choices farmers make, and we would strongly encourage them to get as much information as possible before making those choices.
Well, help us with that information. Are there any criteria that you can suggest for farmers to look at while they're leading up to this decision?
Well, definitely take a look at what we're going to have in terms of our projections, what other people are projecting for both prices and for revenues in front of us. We expect there to be some tools developed. We'll be part of at least one of those efforts, we know. So we expect there to be decision aids that are out there for people to look at the consequences of what one set of choices might make versus another. And also, most importantly, probably be patient. It's still some time before USDA is going to have rules issued, and then even more time before final choices have to be made. Take into account as much information as you can possibly get so you can make the most informed decision you possibly can.
Is there a time that we know that decision will have to be made?
I don't think we have a firm time schedule just yet. It sounds as if it's going to be several months before the final rules are out and before the formal sign-up begins, and it may well extend into 2015 before sign-up ever concludes. This may seem like a very odd set of affairs, given that the 2014 crop is going to be growing into the ground very shortly. But under the new programs that are established, no payments would be occurring until October of 2015 at the earliest. So there's actually some time before money starts to flow.
These projections were presented earlier this week, but have they been presented to congressional staffers yet?
We have indeed sent a copy of this into congressional staff and talked with them a bit in a couple conference calls already, and we expect to be making a trip into Washington pretty soon to talk in greater depth about our own analysis and about some analysis that's still being conducted by some colleagues of ours at Texas A&M University, look at the farm-level impacts of these new policies and of the overall market outlook.
Very good. Anything that you'd like to add, Pat?
I think those hit the main things on the crop side. I neglected to mention, of course, we have some important new policies on the livestock side as well. Disaster aid for livestock producers that expired back in 2012 has been reinstated, so producers who had losses associated with the drought of 2012 and subsequent events may be able to sign up pretty shortly, perhaps as early as April, for renewed benefits under those programs. And in the case of dairy, we've changed our longstanding dairy price support program to eliminate it and put in its place a new margin insurance program that could be very important for dairy producers.
Talk briefly, too, about how livestock producers are going to be affected by what's happened to not only the grain markets, but in the farm bill.
Yeah, we've seen a huge reversal of fortunes in terms of farm income. We had record levels of farm income in 2013. We expect to see a very sharp decline in 2014, but that's almost entirely because of poorer fortunes for most crop producers with lower prices. On the other hand, for livestock producers, those lower feed prices are one reduced cost of production for them. Throw in the fact that we have very good prices for cattle right now, and not too bad of prices for some other livestock species as well, we should have pretty good returns for most livestock producers in 2014. A possible exception, of course, are pork producers who have already lost a lot of pigs this year, and great uncertainty over whether the virus that's been affecting those herds will continue to strike. In terms of policy, again, we've mentioned dairy. There's also questions about what sort of assistance producers who are losing pigs because of the PED virus might be able to get from the federal government.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the opportunity.
Bye.
Bye-bye.